Well, this morning here for a few minutes, I want to talk about something that I think we all are a pretty big fan of, would love, which is an invitation to greatness. Now, when we think of humanity and we think of our world right now, specifically if you have children in your house, everybody wants to be a YouTube star. Everybody wants to be, maybe you've heard, Dude Perfect. Dude Perfect was a bunch of guys. If not, you should check them out. They're Christian dudes from Texas. They just started doing trick shots. They throw footballs half a mile, it feels like, through different objects, and it goes in something. They do all this crazy stuff with all of anything they can think of, including dropping a basketball off of something, I think it was 500 some feet high, into a basketball hoop, which is almost impossible. In fact, they would say that the Lord made it happen. It was a miracle. This ball would go like hundreds of feet sideways. The same drop, it would go hundreds of feet. Then a little wind changes, it would go hundreds of feet the other way. Amazing the things that God did through that. But you know what? Most of us are like, I want that. Your kids all want that. They want to be a YouTube star. They want to get a creator code where they can make money on YouTube. And it's only a small percentage that actually see that happen. But we all want it, right? Maybe even some of our students here are like, come on, if I just am good enough at this game, whatever it is, like I can make it happen. Maybe you think of other things like sports. Maybe in my time, LeBron James has been the best basketball player. I mean, Michael Jordan, obviously the GOAT of all time. But the last 20 years, LeBron James has been about as good as it gets. And you know, I found out this week that LeBron James, during the playoffs and during basketball season, he does something that some of you wish you could do, and most I'd say, what? He sleeps. His goal is 12 or 13 hours a night. And why does he sleep 12 or 13 hours a night? Because he puts his body entirely on the line, and to restore his body, he believes that he must sleep 12 or 13 hours so that his sprained ankle that's supposed to last 6 weeks takes a week, and he's back on the court. How does he sleeps. That's his secret. Maybe if you follow somebody and they're an influencer, maybe they have to look a certain way, so all they eat is green stuff. They only eat things that you don't want to eat, and they say that's how they stay a certain shape in their body. Or whatever the thing are, your celebrities do crazy stuff. That's how they look how they look, because they believe they have to do that to experience greatness in their life. I'm going to be honest, Pastor Rachel and myself, you know, we want to be healthy, and we value health, but we only value health to a certain point because we really like Dr. Pepper. And we've learned, like, you like Dr. Pepper, you can only get to a certain place. Like, my six-pack is probably not ever going to be a true six-pack, but we're going to keep it about here, and I'm going to be happy with that because I just like Dr. Pepper. It's not worth it to me. Some of you might be like, come on, I'm never going to eat anything that's bad for me again. I'm just saying, I like my steak and my Dr. Pepper and my sugar. I like sugar. So it's just, that's not going to happen. Right? Whatever it takes for greatness, what we think, is varying depending on what our goals are. What people do because of what they think they have to do. Celebrities, people, what they sleep in, what their sheets have to be. Like crazy stuff, my skin because of what I do. But you know, the person I think of by far, the one that has made the greatest impact on humanity, is obviously Jesus Christ, the true GOAT, the GOAT, the true greatest of all time. In fact, you say, well, how can you be sure that he's the greatest of all time? I'm just going to throw it out there. Drive down the street. What do you see more of that has affected more? In fact, Radiant Life Church used to be called Northwest Assembly of God, and we used to be called that because we're on the northwest corner of Columbus, but we realized at a certain point there were about 7 or 8 other Northwest Assembly of God, Presbyterian, Baptist, whatever they were, and people would go to the wrong church because they just were looking for Northwest, and they would come either here or go somewhere else. So we decided we need to change our name because Jesus had made too big of an impact in the northwest corner of Columbus. Too many people were named that, right? You think of art. You think of anything that has to do with Jesus around the world, everywhere he has made an impact. It's amazing his who he is, but his way of experiencing and stepping into being the greatest of all time looked different, way different than LeBron James or Messi or some influencer or Dude Perfect, all of these people. In fact, when he walked the earth, there's no way that he would have even entered into the conversation today. Like, think of Jesus. He was born in a manger, in a feeding trough. let's just say, the lowest of the low. He wasn't born in the right family, in the right place, to the right people at all. He was born in this terrible spot. He lived in obscurity for 30 years building things as a builder, right? You wouldn't think, there it is, that's the number, right? That's what he did, though. 30 years, you don't really hear anything about Jesus. He then had a very brief ministry. 3.5 years of what we really see his public life. It's not often that in 3.5 years you impact the world nobody does this, but Jesus, 3.5 years, that's all he needed. But you think about Jesus when he was here, what happened? The end of his life, he was killed. Normally being murdered, being martyred is not the way for greatness, but Jesus was killed and then rose again, and even then was only here for a short amount of time and went to heaven. Like, that's not the way to do it, church, today. If you want to be a YouTube star, don't follow Jesus' plan. We see no one compares with him. All that he has done, but he's the only one in the room and really on the planet that can have his name put in that category. In fact, when we look throughout the Word of God, just a few of what God says, of what the Word would say about him in John 1:1-5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was wasting life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Colossians 1:15-20 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." Right? I think Jesus, he's got it going on. Hebrews 1:1 says, "Long ago and many times and in many ways God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, church, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power." Church, our God, Jesus, is all things. He's preeminent. He rules. He reigns. In fact, I mentioned Northwest Assembly of God. I'm so thankful that Pastor Dave and the leadership changed the name to Radiant Life Church, because is that not what we're called to be? The radiant life that Jesus, the radiance of God, we're reflecting that, shining that on our world. Jesus is the GOAT. It may not have seemed like it when he was walking with his disciples when they all scattered right before he went to be with heaven, right before and then when he was crucified. But Jesus knew what he was doing. And my question today, when we think of an invitation to greatness, is what would Jesus have said? What would have been the thing that mattered more than anything else? Do you have to have the post going on YouTube at the right time of day? Like, when is the best time? Do I have to be sure that I get my face at the right thing on the right billboard? Like, is that what it is? Like, what is it? And you, if you've been in the Word, you know it has nothing to do with any of that stuff. In fact, James and John, the sons of thunder, they were discussing and their mom was involved. And Jesus is like, it's not any of that. Don't let any of those things be. But he says in Matthew 20:26, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And when you get into the Word of God, and the more you read, and the more you study, and the more you understand, you realize that the invitation to greatness is exactly the opposite of what any of us would want to do, or want to pay for, or want to plan on, of how you're going to do it. We want to go the easy way. We want to go the right time, and the right formula, and the right process. And Jesus, he came from heaven to earth to give his life for us. That is what we are called to do. In fact, if you want to be the GOAT, if you want to be or serve the GOAT, Jesus, the greatest of all time, he invites you to be last just like he was. And this morning, as I was thinking about it, I was like, what a sermon. Like, that's the first thing. Hey, you want to come be a part of Radiant Life? You're going to be last. Let's be last in the world. Like, let's do what no one else would want to do. Let's be who no one else would want to be. And what kind of things would being last maybe look like when I just think of it? I think of maybe the person that you hate the most. I'm sorry, you're followers of Jesus. You don't hate anybody. The person you don't want to be around ever. You just don't want to be near them. I think being last is saying, Lord, how can I pray for and serve that person? Like, that's hard. That person hurt me. They're rude. They do it on purpose. They've done it. I don't know. When I look at what Jesus did for us, he came for us even when we were putting him on a cross. He says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. I think to be last like Jesus means I'm going to care for people that they don't care for me. Being last means that person that hurt me, I would lay down my life for them. Being last means that boss that doesn't seem to care about you, I'm going to honor them and serve them and do the best I can to be like Jesus to them. It means that family member who your whole life has put you down and won't give you the time of day. It means, Lord, how can I pray for them? How can I believe that something good's going to happen in their life, no matter whether they ever repay the favor or not? Being last. I think a lot of you get it last week, $130,000, saying this year we're going to dream and have a vision and believe, and God, you have to make this happen. But we're going to give to every nation, every soul. And you know what happens when we give to every nation, every soul? It means that money isn't going to go towards our fun and our entertainment and our excitement, even our church, our buildings, our things. It means it's going to go away. And it's possible I never see the result of it. Now, our goal is we want to see every month. We're going to talk about missionaries and talk about what God's doing. The new book that we have shares a little of what people are doing. We want you to know, but you're not going to probably see 99.9% of the people that get saved because of your sacrifice. That sounds like, Lord, I'm going to give away what I might not even ever see or know. That sounds like last in our world right now and what we would think in our culture. Lord, I'm going to do it not because I even maybe at the beginning want to, but I'm going to do it because you've called me to. And then all of a sudden it becomes a joy and a privilege and exciting. But so often with God, it starts, Lord, I'm going to do what seems last. I'm going to serve. I'm going to honor. I love Radiant Life Church because there are a lot of adopted kids that are running around these halls. You know what? That's something to say, Lord, this is hard, but I'm going to maybe be last of what I thought or what I think, and I'm going to take somebody else that didn't have anything. Sounds like Jesus a little bit. I'm going to adopt them. I'm going to bring them in as my own son or daughter. I'm going to pour blessing on them. Any inheritance or future I have, I'm going to give it to them. That's pretty awesome. There's nothing better. How do we be like Jesus? I want to be last like him, and I don't care if the world around me would say, woo, or if they do not get it at all, because my goal is not to do what my world wants. My goal is to do what Jesus wanted. And he came, he left heaven, and he came to earth. In fact, if we're going to be last like Jesus, I think Philippians 2, Paul kind of sums it up. And I'm going to start in verse 1. I think the screen will start in verse 3. It says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. I think, Paul, I just had to read that. It's so good. Lord, could you let us as the church, the Rad Fam, your global church, could that be who we are? We're together. Then in verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. I think for most of us, I would say maybe for all of us, that's not easy. Lord, help me count others more significant than myself. Verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. No matter what we have or what we think we have, we had nothing like Jesus sitting in the throne room of heaven at the right hand of the Father. And he says, you know what? I'll volunteer. I'll go down there. I'll volunteer to go to that manger. I'll volunteer to live in a sinful world, but not sin. I'm not going to do that, but I have to walk through it because we're sinful. So he experienced, I'll volunteer to go on a cross. And you know what he did? He even volunteered to the night before he was betrayed, or the night he was betrayed, the night before he was crucified. He cried out to the Lord, Lord, please, could you take this cup from me? Well, he's saying, I'm fully God, but I'm fully man. I don't want to be crucified. I don't want nails put in my wrists and in my shins. I don't want to suffocate on a cross. But he said, Lord, not my will, your will. I'll be last. I'll be last. Even when he did not want to be last, I'll be last. Even when he's sweating drops of blood because of the pain and the anguish that he had, he said, I will be last. I'll give it all. He didn't account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's being last. Like, it didn't get any worse. If you've seen The Passion, an older movie, but boy, there's nothing like that. But you know what happens when we choose to go God's way? We choose to be last rather than choosing to be first. You know what happens when we say, I'll take your invitation to greatness over the invitation of what world would say or culture would say or YouTube would say I need to do? You know what happens? We're going to find out in verse 9 and following. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and in every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, he invites us to be last, like he chose to be. And in the process, sometimes when we're choosing to be last, maybe we look at someone else and say, if I just made some different choices, it would seem like I'm farther ahead. Maybe if I made some different financial choices and did it differently, maybe it would seem like I would have that newer car or that newer thing, and that would make me feel good. But there's something that happens when I realize, no, Lord, I don't think that's what you've called me to. I want to do what you've called. And I'm so thankful that God blesses and pours out those things. And I'm thankful when we get to see some of that stuff. But Lord, that's not what my goal in life is. That's not where success comes in my life. I don't care what I have or what it looks like. I care. Have I done what you've said to do? Have I carried my cross? Have I followed you when it's difficult, when it's easy? Have I maybe even said, oh, I'm going to leave what I thought I would always do because you are now calling me to something new? In fact, when I think of an invitation to greatness, this week, as a pastoral team, we were praying, Lord Jesus, would there be people and could there be people that are part of our family who someday we get to send them around the world to do missionary work because God would call you out of successful jobs and successful places and put you in a place where you just want to be last and go serve somebody on the other side of the world, maybe even serve somebody where it's illegal to do it. And you're like, I don't know what's going to happen, but God's called me and I'll be last, even to the point like Jesus of death, if that's what's called. What would happen and what happens when we say, Lord, I don't want to just get ahead in the American dream. I don't want to just get ahead, but Lord, what are you calling me to do? And when you bless me and you pour those financial things maybe, Lord, then how can I use your kingdom to bless others, to be last in what you've given me the ability to do? Lord Jesus, I want you to show up. Jesus, he's the goat. He asks you and invites you to be last. His invitation to be last is his invitation to greatness. As we are here this morning, I pray that God is just speaking to your heart. When I think of our young people, they want to make a difference. They want to have something that changes. They want to see something that happens. And I pray that our young people would experience the power of God. And young people in the room, you have to decide, I don't want to be first where everyone sees me. I want to be last where Jesus sees me. And then you never know what just might happen. This weekend, we had Synergy and all of our leaders got to go. It was amazing. But on Friday night, we had a worship concert here, free worship, the Ohio Ministry Network. We just opened our building and it was a lot of fun. But we had some of our church friends and pastor friends that were in town for that event. And they're in the building and they're like, wow, this is amazing. Your building is beautiful. And I'm like, thank you, Pastor Dave. Thank you, those that have been a part, that have sowed into this place, into what God has blessed us with. You know, when Pastor Dave started the church in 1980 in his living room with two people or four people, or there was no way to necessarily see this. In fact, I think sometimes, I know I do, I'm just like, how in the world has God blessed us with this? You know how it starts? It starts because one person says, Lord, I'm willing to be last, and I'm going to move to Dublin, Ohio, and I don't care if I'm supported. Somehow I'm going to survive. I can work if I have to work. I'll do whatever I have to do. And starts with two people, and then four people, and then eight people, and then the process happens. You know how a church goes from here till someday where we fill this place up twice? Like, let's do it, church. It happens because a whole bunch of people, not a few people here on a front row. It happens because as a church, we say, Lord, I want to be last, and I'm going to give and lay off down my talents and my effort and my energy. I'm going to give it to you, and what you want is more important than what I want. You know how we, and our goal of seeing $1 million given away by 2030 a year, you know how that happens? Because we say we have to get the lost in this place because there's not quite enough money yet. So we need a whole lot more people to come to know Jesus here so we then can see even more people come to know Jesus there. Which means I have to start sharing about Jesus. It's not about just what I give or what I do here, but Lord, outside of these walls, I have an invitation to greatness, which means I'm gonna serve and lay down my life and pour the Spirit of God out outside of these walls. And it could be in a way where people see and where it's public and it looks like success to the rest of the world. Or it might be that God asks you not to take that job or that raise or that thing because the person that you're sharing Jesus with where you are matters. I don't know what God's plan is, but Lord, let us be hearers of what you want. Let me be last and lay down my ideas and my thoughts before you so that individually, and then as we come as corporate church body, we see the greatness of God poured out. Not because of what happens through YouTube this morning or through some big advertisement campaign, but what happens because the church, you and me, because we share Jesus. We let power be what matters most in our life. And we keep saying, Lord, use me, move in me. But Lord, I don't need to be seen. I just need to be last to come before you. And God, I know you're going to take care of the rest. If you're here and you're looking for that opportunity to step into his greatness, look for an opportunity like Jesus to serve. Look for an opportunity to lay your life down. Look for an opportunity to do what nobody else around you would do, but because of Jesus and his call in your life, you say, I am in. And earlier we talked about first impressions and kids ministries, and there's all the things at a church, and we'd love for you, please, 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 please sign up. I would love to see every person in this place a part of Teams, because when we're a part of Teams, it is entirely different. It's our church. It's what we do. It's not what somebody else does. There's power, groups. Be a part of a group. There's nothing like getting people's homes and doing those things. But I don't want to hear you to hear this morning. That's what this message, I want, what does God have for you tomorrow morning? Who can you lay your life down for? Who can you be last for? What do you need to adjust in your life to say, Lord, it's not me and mine and what I have, but Lord, what you have? What do you need to change to say, Lord, my family, they matter the most, and I'm going to intercede and pray and believe? Yesterday, I had the celebration of life for Gil Sears, and he's been a part of Radiant Life since 1988, and for the last 3+ years has been at home sick and couldn't get out and do a church environment like this. And they were talking about him. Multiple different people said the last 6 months to 2 years of his life, he's become just a prayer warrior. In a time when he couldn't do what he used to be able to do, God put this passion just to pray and to believe. And you know what? Is it possible that Gil Sears, in the last couple years of his life, could have made more impact than all the other years because of a life of prayer, to end strong, to say, Lord, I can't do what I used to be able to do. It might feel like last, but I'm not going to whine and complain. I'm going to pray and believe. And the room, I think he's 82, something along those lines. It was full. Every single seat in this place was full at the funeral home. He was loved and cared for, people from his work, from his church, from 88 before that. I mean, God, all these people. But is it possible that in those last years, he said, I'm going to pray and believe? And we do not know. But I know when we're obedient to God, the invitation to greatness is so much better than anything we see with our eyes today. And we say, this is what everyone else says is success. Well, I don't care. I don't think Jesus cared. He definitely didn't care because he left heaven. And let's be people that we leave whatever heaven is, whatever our poor excuse of that is here on earth, to say, Lord, I will give you everything. And today when he blesses you and things are, praise God, drive your car, do the things for sure. But when God asks you to do something that seems like last, let's remember, Jesus didn't find a quality to be something to be grasped, a quality with God. He said, I will give my life. And because of that, he received everything. And we get to follow him and know him, to be his sons and daughters. Ethan just mentioned, what a crazy. He welcomes us in. When we're last, we are first in everything. Today, let's be sure that he's everything. Let's serve and give and pour into what God is doing here. But then please, out of here, let's pour and give in and show the goodness of God to the people around us. I just feel like before we pray, sometimes specifically family can be difficult because you've been with your family your whole life, right? And maybe there's a member, a few people today that family is, there's a member or two, you might actually say in an honest moment you hate them, or there's people that you just, you don't want to be around them. And I just feel that God wants to heal some of that in some people's lives, and that maybe the last for a few people today is to ask the Lord, would you give me the strength to forgive for what people have done or what people have said? And probably the next time you see them, they might do the exact same thing or say the exact same stuff or pick on you in a way that's not okay, or I don't know. But what happens if we serve and we pray and we believe? What would happen if God would bring healing in your heart to something you didn't cause, you didn't do, but that then leads that person in the end to Jesus, to heaven? That's what happens when we're last. He gives us freedom. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. And then he uses us to bless somebody else. What happens if it's your boss today and man, they're not very nice to you? How can you serve them? How can you lay it down for them? Maybe somebody in your family or in your home right now that you just struggle. Ask, Lord, how can I serve them? Young person in the room, you live with your parents. It's just biblical. Ask, Lord, how can I serve my parents and honor my parents? Even if you don't want to, it has nothing to do with it. Lord, I'm going to serve you and honor you and do what your word says. What happens when God, he makes us new and whole? Because it's not about us, it's not about our feelings, what we want, but it's about, Lord, I'm going to lay everything down before you. And church, I guarantee you, you want greatness in your life. That is the only way to truly experience it, to experience Jesus. If we could all over this room, could we stand as we close in prayer? And while we're standing, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, there's nothing better. That is why we are here, out on the wall when you come in. One more for Jesus. That is it. And if you've never done it, I want to invite you just to say yes to him this morning. All you have to do is just pray. Mean it in your heart. It's not about my words or anybody else's, but to say, Lord, I love you. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of the past, and I make you the Lord of my life. In any words you want to put in there, Jesus, he welcomes you in. And the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices. There's a party in heaven when one person comes to know him. That's why one more for Jesus. One more, you. Maybe you're that one today. Ask him right now in your own heart. And then I would love it if you would come tell me. I would love to pray with you as well. Just tell him, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Make me new. I repent. He welcomes you as his son and daughter. For the rest of us today, if there's something we need to step back, say, Lord, I'm going to be last. I want to receive your invitation to greatness. I want to pray for us today. Lord, I pray for this church, these people, the Rad fam. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would accept your invitation to greatness, which, Lord, means like you, we don't need equality with anything. Lord, we want to serve you and honor you and glorify you. And Lord, we will be last. We will be servant just like you did, like you were. Lord, we'll lay it all down before you. And Lord, we would just ask, Lord, that in those moments, God, that you would use us right where you call us to be. Lord, we don't need to be the most known or the most recognizable, or maybe no one even knows. But Lord, when we do what you call, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you're going to bring life and wholeness. And maybe for the lady or the man today that they pray and intercede, Lord, I pray that you would use them, God. Lord, I pray that heaven will be fuller because of their intercession, because of their obedience, Lord, to do what maybe nobody else would do, Lord, but they're doing it consistently and faithfully. Lord, I'm thankful for people in the church that will say, I'm going to help in kids' church or in nursery or with the fourth, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders, whatever it is, Lord, whatever age group it is. Lord, we're thankful for them pouring in to them on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. God, thank you and bless them. Lord, as they choose to be last and give of their time, Lord, I pray that there would be literally dozens and dozens and dozens and throughout time because of the ripple effect, literally millions of people that would be in heaven because they said yes to you. And they poured into the next preacher, and they poured into the next business leader, and they poured into the next person who is going to also choose to be last in the kingdom, last in the world, Lord, so they can be first with you. Lord, use us. If we need to forgive, Lord, I pray today we would choose to be last, even those who have hurt us, God, that we would submit, we would honor, we would give glory to you, and therefore, Lord, we would pray and believe for people, maybe the worst people to us. Lord, today let us choose to be last and then truly find freedom in who we are, freedom in you, Lord, because when we forgive, Lord, then we know that you're forgiving us, God. And so, Lord, help us to choose to be last. Lord, we do not want to look like the world. We don't want to act like the world. We don't want to be first like the world. We want to be last in you and what you've called us to do. So, Lord, one day, greatness, Lord Jesus, we're going to be in heaven with you. Lord, we are so thankful. Lord, I pray that this church this week would be your hands and your feet, that they would share the message of the gospel, Lord, not because they need a stage or a platform or a soapbox, but Lord, because they choose to be last and they look for opportunities. They pray, they believe, they ask, Lord, and when the opportunity comes, they're ready with power and authority because they've been in the word of God and they've let the truth of who you are. Holy Spirit, you've made them new and you've given them power, Lord, and their life is different. Lord, we ask you, Jesus, to do something new in us, Lord, because we choose to accept the invitation to be last, to walk with you, to follow your model. And Lord Jesus, we're thankful. Lord, you are good. We're thankful, Lord, that your word says, therefore, you have highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. So, Lord, we give you glory today, the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. We praise you today. We glorify you today. We submit and honor you today. We humble ourselves before you today. Lord, use us, use your people, each one of us individually, Lord, to bring someone to relationship, to bring someone closer, to bring someone in a place where they understand you more, God. Use us. Heal and restore our hearts where it needs as well, God. We are so thankful. We love you. We praise you. We give you all glory, honor, and power. Lord, you have it. And Lord, we pray that we'd walk in it. You're so good, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good church, our God is good. Real fast before we head out. Yes, let's give him a round of applause. God is good. Come on. A couple of reminders and things. Chris Little, she is our missionary to Zambia, and she is walking through a cancer battle. Would you continue to pray with us? And when you exit these doors over here, there's a table with cards. And if the Lord would lay on your heart just to write her a card, we'd love to send 10, 20 cards. It can't be 100, so don't everyone do it. But if God would give you something for her or you know her, please write that card tomorrow. They're going to get overnighted to our missionary who's going to be going there to actually taking them, as it's very difficult to ship and get that stuff. So this is the best way, which is why we're just doing it last minute. We'd love to have some of you join and write a card for her. And the other two things are, don't forget, take a bin of eggs and candy and make the candy go inside of those eggs, bring it back next week. And this Saturday night is our Family Life Conference, 5 to 8 o'clock. Sign up, let us know you're coming. It's gonna be a blast and a great time. My last thing is, right now we have a party with the pastors that's gonna begin. And if you're new here to Radiant Life Church, never met myself, my wife, or never been to a party with the pastors, which is in the glass room right on the other side of that wall, I would invite you to come hang out for 5 to 10 minutes. We have some snacks, just love to get to know you, and would love to see you there in just a few moments. Radiant Life, I love you all. This week, be careful what you watch, be careful what you listen to, be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a great week.